What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero, because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, hour number three. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Now, Nikki Haley is back up at the United Nations, just frothing at the mouth. We cannot trust Russia, and we won't ever trust Russia. And just everyone knows that Russia interfered with the U.S. elections, and everyone knows that Russia stole Crimea. And it, again, it's a regurgitation of the lies they've been saying all along. Because, again, Nikki Haley is in the same position as all the other politicians and corporate media talking heads. She can't stand up and say, you caught us, we were lying. We lied about Saddam's nuclear weapons. We lied about Assad gassing his own people. And, yes, we're lying about Russia stealing Crimea and hacking the election. At this point, judging by the reactions that we're seeing from other members of the Security Council, other members of the G20, I think most people have pretty much reached the point where they don't want to go along with this nonsense anymore, even out of a sense of diplomatic politeness. Everybody knows it's all a big steaming pile of USDA choice bovine excrement. And you can almost get a sense of desperation coming out of the warmongers, like John McCain and Lindsey Graham and Nikki Haley. They don't know how to push this thing forward. Nobody is buying the myth that Russia's this horrible evil villain that must be destroyed, or that Assad is an evil villain that has to be destroyed. We have been down this road too many times. We have been made fools of by our own government way too many times to ever do that again. And you can almost smell the panic and the desperation to try and get something major going before the economy collapses, because if the economy collapses, let me rephrase that, when the economy collapses, which some top experts are saying is likely to happen before the end of the year, and they don't have a war to blame it on, we, the American people, are going to stand up and point the finger of blame where it richly deserves to go. Wall Street corruption, the private central bank, and politicians who thought it was their job to help the money junkies rather than the American people. And so at this point, I'd be going long on tar and feathers if I were you. Now, the meeting between Trump and Putin has sent the usual liberal celebrities into a full-on meltdown. How could he meet with Vladimir Putin, the son of Darth Vader? I got a clue for you guys. The president meeting Putin goes with the job, especially at the G20. It's kind of expected. And I think a lot of these liberal crybabies are out there striving to sort of recover some sense of relevance to the current American society. And all they're doing is behaving like children. And let's see. Here we go. We're going to go ahead and take another phone call. Mark in North Carolina, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing, Mike? Mike. A couple of things. One is John McCain and Lindsey Graham. These guys, to me, ought to be arrested as for either treason or sedition, because they were involved in arming these so-called rebels, which were really terrorists. They even got pictures of McCain with a bunch of them. This has been around for a while. And they did the same thing in Libya, and they also tried to put the Muslim Brotherhood into a Egypt, but Azizi, General Azizi, wasn't going to go along with that. They actually tried to, almost force Azizi to take the Muslim Brotherhood back in, but they didn't. These guys are out and out evil. I think McCain is not just a psychopath. I think the man is out. So is Graham. I think these two are out and out evil. And you take somebody like Nikki Haley, she's just dumb. The woman does not belong in there. Now, the problem I see with Trump is this. He seems to be well-meaning and seems to have some decent people working with him. Now, Tillerson seems to have some kind of common sense, at least. The problem is he's got so many different types of people in his cabinet and in his government that undermine him. He wants to do something, and they right away say, no, Haley is a perfect example. Get her out. What is she doing in there? Get rid of McMaster. Get rid of Kushner. Get rid of some of these people. They're the ones that are bringing you down and making it tough on you. They're just you know, I expected he was going to be as tough as he sounded when he ran for president. I didn't realize he was going to just be all over the place and let these people take advantage of him. And that's what's happening. He's got to lower the hammer.
Like I said, he comes out of the world of business, but in the world of politics, he came into the White House as dangerously naive as Jimmy Carter did, and he just doesn't know how to deal with it yet. But he's learning, but he does have to get tough.
I hope he's learning, because I don't know if I see a sign of it. Because again, like I said, if what he really should do is call McCain and Graham and people like that on the carpet and say, look, go to the American people, not just tweeting. Go directly to the American people and say, do you want World War III? Do you want nuclear war with a country that's not even really our enemy anymore? One thing, when we had the Soviet Union, I'm not even so sure how terrible the Soviet Union was anymore, but they certainly were not like the Russia of today, which is a very decent, good country. People actually like Americans. They're very similar to Americans in their lifestyle and in their way of thinking and all that. And there's no reason. I trust them way more than EU, any of these EU countries, including England. I certainly trust them more than Israel, and I certainly trust them more than the Saudis. I mean, this is ridiculous. And he's also got to start looking at Iran. I have mixed feelings about Iran. I don't think they are a theocracy. But they're not a theocracy the way Saudi Arabia is a theocracy. There's a lot more freedom there. There's even a certain amount of dissent. I even saw a poll they took where they actually went around asking whether women should be complied to wear hijabs or not. This is in Iran today.
Yes.
Now, it was so terrible, if they tried that in Saudi Arabia, they'd probably be beheaded. And there these women are required to wear those beekeeper suits.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Trump got to get it together, because Saudi Arabia, I mean, Iran is not the major purveyor of terrorism. Saudi Arabia, and I hate to say it, Israel to a degree is also.
Oh, absolutely, no question about it. I mean, there was just a report came out in the British government that said that as far as the terrorists operating in Britain, they're being funded by Saudi Arabia, not Iran.
I think people got to start taking a look at Israel and Saudi Arabia. I don't know. I don't know if I ever told you. I think I told you one time that I was born Jewish, but I really don't know much about the Jewish religion, because I never really practiced. I didn't marry. I married both of my ex-wives. Neither of them are Jewish. My kids weren't raised as Jews. They were raised as, but still, I was born Jewish. I have a little bit of knowledge. But the thing is this. I'm wondering. I'm trying to find out people who do know more about Judaism and Islam, both. Is there some kind of a connection between certain parts of Judaism and certain parts of Islam, mostly the Wahhabi form of Islam, and maybe certain sects of the Orthodox?
Well, I mean, and inevitably there's going to be, because all of those religions go all the way back to Abraham, who's credited with being the first monotheist, although obviously Amenhotep IV, preempted him on that one. But I mean, Judaism was a monotheistic religion. Then this rabbi comes along and splits off Christianity. And then a little further along, you have Muhammad and splits off Islam. Joshua.
Oh, you mean Jesus?
Jesus is a mistranslation. And then you had Muhammad, and Islam splits off, and then they split into the Sunni and the Shiite. But they all share that one common root in Abraham's monotheism, and you would think that there would be a common meeting ground for peace on that one point alone.
But the reason I say Saudi Arabia and Israel, first of all, when you see the way they're working together with each other now, it's, it defies what a lot of people are surprised. Can't believe. But I'm wondering, you've got the Talmud and you've got the Hadith. Both seem to be very similar. Both seem to, the Hadith seems to explain, at least,
I think you're putting too much importance on religion. I think what's driving Israel and Saudi Arabia is more along the lines of territorial expansion, increase in wealth and power, and the religion is just set dressing to try and convince their respective populations that what is being done by the rulers is the will of the gods.
But if that was the case, why wouldn't the Israelis form an alliance, for instance, let's say, with Iran, or even with Turkey or something? Why is it Saudi Arabia? I'm thinking of how the Quran, I'm sorry, Hadith actually explains the Quran, and I think the Talmud supposed to explain the Bible, or the Old Testament, or the Torah. That's why I'm wondering whether that's why I'm saying whether there isn't some kind of a religious connection between the Saudi royal family and the certain forms of Judaism. I even noticed that, I've seen some comments, too, on various parts of the Internet. Of course, a lot of that doesn't mean anything either, but sometimes it does, that there is a connection, that they're, that even that the Saudis are kind of their really the Saudi royal family is really a Jewish tribe. And it's something odd that I did find out, though, that in Israel, they have a draft, obviously, for Jews. But neither Muslims or Christian Arabs are subject to that draft. However, you know who are subject to that draft? The Bedouins, the Bedouin tribesmen, who are really Muslims, as far as I know. Yeah. And the Bedouins are very much related. As a matter of fact, the Saudis really are Bedouins.
Okay, Mark, you're kind of going off into this very convoluted mapping of linkages. But again, my read of the situation is that the leadership of Israel and the leadership of Saudi Arabia are primarily being driven by ambition for power and greed and territory. They're certainly going to use the trappings of religion to get their populations to go along with it. But I think you're seeing more control and influence from the religious side than I think can be justified to be there. Anyway, Mark, I need to let you go. I got a bunch of news to get through here. We've had a lot of calls on the line today, which is good. I enjoy the phone calls. We're going to do a shout-out now to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining the network. And as long as we're talking about Iran, Iran is questioning, or actually they're throwing doubt on the sincerity of the United States in this current ceasefire deal. And this article came on out before the revelation that Israel may already be thinking that the deal does not apply to them, even though the original report on this Russian-Syrian deal indicated that Jordan and Israel were on board with all of this. Now, obviously, for anybody who doesn't want the ceasefire to work, all they got to do is go on in and run an attack. So if Israel can fly into that part of Syria and start dropping bombs, the ceasefire will be over. For peace to happen, everybody has to want peace. But it only takes one maniac with a bomb or a gun to keep the fighting going. And we certainly have that with Israel. We have it with the United States, which is delivering hundreds of trucks of weapons to the PKK terrorists even now. They don't want this war to be over. They still want Assad out. They want U.S. control over Syria. I think Putin was trying to send a very firm message that the U.S. will not be allowed to expand any further into Syria. And even years ago, Putin was saying, if the U.S. pushes into places it is not welcome, Russia will turn these into a war of attrition, just like Vietnam, and just wear the United States down to collapse. And folks, we're close enough to that as it is. Russia has the resources to outlast the United States in a war of attrition. So another article over at Gold Core saying that China and Russia alliance deepens against American overstretch. The rest of the world is waking up to the fact that the U.S. government is step by step trying to basically take over the entire world. That General Wesley Clark was not smoking opium when he came out with that list of all the nations the U.S. was going to invade and regime change, ending with Iran in 2008. So at some point, we're going to see the rest of the world harden their resistance against any further encroachments by the United States. I really don't want to see these wars go any further. I do not think the United States can win a conventional war against Russia, China, and whoever else aligns with them. And that means we seriously are risking nuclear weapons. And that's a bad thing. Now, Russia is speeding up production of their latest missile, the S-500. And apparently mass production is expected to start late next year or early 2019. And it will be deployed as far as 2020. And apparently this rocket can destroy targets at altitudes up to 100 kilometers above the Earth. It is a very potent, capable missile. Now, over in Iran, they're going to start domestically producing their copy, if you will, of the Russian surface-to-air missile, the C-300. And they're expecting to have that deployed sometime next year as well. Everybody is arming up. They know the U.S. is gunning for them. And, of course, I'm sure that Nikki Haley will be up at the United Nations saying, how dare Iran make missiles to defend themselves from us? What's wrong with those people? They don't understand our manifest destiny is to rule the world. You can't even run this country. And you think you're ready to run the entire world? You would have an easier sale of that if this country looked like it was running smoothly, but it isn't. It's in serious trouble, and everybody can see that. Down in Yemen, the cholera cases passed 300,000, according to the International Committee of the Red Cross. At least 1,700 people have died from it. I have to tell you, this is looking more and more like a biological warfare attack and less like a natural outbreak. That's just my opinion, of course. We're going to go back to the telephones now. Ramsey in Canada, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello?
You're on the air.
Hello, sir. How are you? Thank you for taking my call. You see, sir, I just want to tell you something regarding the last caller. He said that Israel and Saudi Arabia are buddies and friends. He actually said it's not true. Like, Israel is controlling Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is a puppet of Israel through the United States. So he thinks that they're like a man and a woman happily married. No, like, the guy's completely wrong. Like Saudi Arabia is a puppet of Israel. So, and see, so regarding what he said about the religion or whatever he said, Saudi Arabia is based on a system called the Wahhabi system, which started in the 17th century. So the Hadith or the religion came way before Wahhabi system started.
Okay, well, let's back up here a little bit. We know, of course, that there was a change in leadership in Saudi Arabia that not everybody in Saudi Arabia is happy about. The new Crown Prince bin Salman is very much aligned with Western and Israeli interests. Part of that may be the fact that Donald Trump did authorize this massive weapons sale of modern weapons to Saudi Arabia, although I'm still hearing the Congress may move to try and limit or block that one. But again, we know that Israel is a master of taking control of other countries' governments covertly, clandestinely, and running those countries for their own benefit. They've certainly done it here. And the fact that nobody even mentions that at the same time they're screaming about Russia tampering with our politics shows you just how great their influence is. Okay?
Yeah, thanks.
All right, we're going to let you go then. Thanks an awful lot for the phone call. Coming up on another commercial break here. Now, there was a little bit of a kerfuffle, if you will, where up in Hungary, their prime minister has gone on a campaign to try and keep George Soros and his various non-governmental organizations out of Hungary because he sees them as the harbinger of tampering with his country. And so Israel's foreign minister came on out and said, well, you're being an anti-Semite if you're opposed to George Soros. And apparently Netanyahu said, no, we're going to retract the criticism of anti-Semitism and we're going to slam on George Soros because George Soros is constantly trying to undermine Israel's government as well. And that's our job. We'll be back after these few words. Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight. Women and children alike.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. Now, Russia Insider is reporting, and this is confirmation of what one of the callers mentioned earlier in the show. Apparently, Israel is having second thoughts about this Russia-U.S. brokered ceasefire, and Israel wants Russia to basically get out of it and leave only the U.S. forces there monitoring the ceasefire. Jordan did go along with the deal. They're happy to get out of the mess. They've really had enough of Syria for one time. But Israel is out there just saying absolutely not, that this should only be the U.S. in there. That's not going to fly very well. Meanwhile, over at The Intercept, they're reporting an interesting development. This gets back to the situation in Qatar and the suddenness, like out of nowhere, that all of this blew up. And apparently the hardline approach from the White House followed a situation where Jared Kushner was refused a bailout loan from a Qatari investor. Apparently Kushner was trying to secure a $500 million investment to shore up finances on their troubled property at 666 Fifth Avenue in New York City. The townhome of the beast, if you will. And apparently, without outside intervention or some kind of a bailout, they're probably going to lose that property. It's going to be a $500 million loss, a little bit of an embarrassment there. So they were really after this Qatari investor, and the Qatari investor said, no, I don't want to, because it is in financial trouble, and Kushner's track record as a financial manager is not a good one. So he refused, and then all of a sudden, oh, we're going to go after Qatar. Because didn't it seem surprising just how quickly this all came about, where Qatar went from being good friend, we've got military bases there, to, well, they're sponsoring terrorism, we've got to do whatever. Running an extortion racket. Give Jared the $500 million and things will calm down. It's amazing. Now, as you know, there was a big stink last week where CNN literally threatened to publicly expose the individual they believed responsible for this silly GIF animation showing Donald Trump body checking CNN at a wrestling event. And it was funny. And CNN should have just shrugged and moved on, because it's had the banned in Boston effect. Everybody wants to see this thing and what all the fuss is about. And CNN essentially tried to blackmail the creator of the GIF into taking it down. As it turned out, they had the wrong guy. And now things are ramping up, because a lot of ordinary Americans are starting to think CNN needs a taste of its own medicine, and they are starting to get the personal information of the on-air correspondents and prostitutes and make it public, and now they're very scared that something might happen to them. Well, CNN began this. They started this mess. And it was tacky for them to do that. So some of these anchors, on-air talent, they're feeling very vulnerable. Maybe they should. Now, there is a gentleman over in the Middle East, Abdul Karim. He's considered a top Al-Qaeda propagandist, and he was hired by CNN to do a documentary called Undercover in Syria. And, of course, it was very pro-West, pro-war, get rid of Assad, very, very much on the side of the U.S. agenda. And as a result, it won the prestigious Overseas Press Club Award and the Peabody Award. But these days, if you look about this documentary at CNN, they don't happen to mention the guy who actually made the film. And now he's going public and saying, CNN did hire me. And yes, I'm an Al-Qaeda propagandist, and I made the documentary, and now they're trying to pretend that we don't exist. I've had that happen to me a couple of times when I was in Hollywood. Getting on to the economic news, Reuters is reporting that Sears Holding is closing 8 of its namesake department stores and 35 of its Kmart locations, trying to get the store back in the black. I don't know if it's really going to help. We got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective, and you may be paying the wrong party property, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Nutramedical's new True Silver is a new angstrom silver wrapped in hydrogen and with a liposomal enzymatic envelope to deliver to target tissues. It will kill all viruses, bacteria, parasites, and pathogens. It goes through the biofilm with an amazing new technology developed by Dr. Bill at NutraMedical.com. You can get this amazing new nutraceutical, which is non-toxic for the eye, respiratory tract, or nose, or skin, at NutraMedical, NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com, or our order line, 888-212-8871. This new technology releases the silver ion to stimulate not only killing pathogens, but stimulates tissue regeneration and stem cell activation. It is thousands of times stronger than any colloidal or ionic silver complex, and with its enzymatic liposomal envelope, delivers it to the target tissues with very small dosages.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no work, can't draw no pay. Unemployment getting worse.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And we're talking about the economic news. Sam's Club is also sounding the warning of more layoffs to come there as well. We're on a slippery slope here. They're closing stores. They're laying people off. It's the wrong direction to be going. Somebody has to start bringing back the high-paying jobs for middle-class and working America so we can start pumping that money back into the economic system. Adam Smith was wrong. And John Nash was right. Let's go to the phones here. Yvonne in New York. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hi. I actually called about Trump's Twitter, but just to touch on what you were saying about stores closing down, we just found out that our health insurance will no longer cover Rite Aid stores. Here in New York, we use the Rite Aid Pharmacy. And when I called, they said, you have to use CVS now. And when I called CVS, they were all ready. They said, oh, yeah, we were just informed that we'd be getting a lot of new customers now because Rite Aid is being dumped. So that's a little concerning to me that maybe now all these drugstores are going to shut down. But also, you were talking about Trump's Twitter, and you had said that you didn't think he was putting out the tweets. And so, coincidentally, the RNC had just called and asked me for a donation, and mm-hmm. I said that, oh, I don't trust the RNC. I said, if Donald Trump wants a donation, like I donated to him during the the campaign, I'd like to see him put out on his Twitter, you know, a request. You know, like a comment saying that he trusted the RNC. And she says to me, oh, honey, he doesn't do... That's not Trump tweeting. He doesn't do that. He's got better things to do. And I was like, oh, wow, that's... And then Mike Rivero just said the same thing.
Well, okay, first of all, I want to clarify. What I actually said was that because of some contradictions that have appeared between what's in the Twitter stream and what Trump is actually saying... I'm saying that maybe Trump doesn't have time to do a lot of tweeting to his own Twitter stream, and maybe some part of the White House communications staff has been given the job of sort of bulking it up and keeping the traffic flowing at times when Trump himself is unavailable, and that may have been the reason for the slip-up. Now, as far as donating to the RNC, this is July, and they're already starting the fundraising and the campaign for the midterms next year. I would really love to see the United States have a law like so many other countries do. The political campaigns are constrained to a very specific period of time, 2 to 3 months before the actual election. And outside of that, the politicians are supposed to be working on their jobs for us instead of already fundraising and holding strategy meetings and already getting back into campaign mode. I would really like to see that. But technically, Donald Trump is now the head of the Republican Party. And so, yeah, whatever the DNC is doing is very much part of his job right now.
So you think that if I'm not going to donate to them because I'm not happy with him, but he would get, all right. So, I know that during the campaign there was such a disconnect, so but I'm still not happy with him.
There may still be people high up in the RNC who are going to work to get Donald Trump replaced. In any event, I'm not donating. I'm very disappointed in Donald Trump. I'm glad I supported him because last year my goal was primarily keeping Hillary out of that White House, to take that away from her. I'm feeling very good that we did that. But as far as Trump himself, I'm a little disappointed. He's doing a lot of things I agree with. Some of the things he's doing I definitely do not agree with, such as perpetuating these wars of conquest. That's a big disappointment for me.
Yeah, and then just one other thing. You keep talking about how McCain, you'll say how, I don't know who voted for him. And every time you say that, I think about Cuomo, our governor. I feel the same way. I mean, I don't know any. I don't even know liberals who voted for him. I know liberals who don't hate him, but I'm hard pressed to find anyone who said, "Oh yeah, I voted for Cuomo." In fact, I knew some liberal-minded people that held back their vacation to vote against him. I don't know how he got into it. I don't know how he keeps winning. I think that I know people. Well, I don't know people, but my husband knows state troopers. Who compliments of the taxpayer, they're his personal bodyguards, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it was about a year and a half ago, before the email scandal about Hillary Clinton came out, we hadn't heard anything about that, they were talking about Cuomo and his cook. He has like a chef girlfriend, and it was the weirdest thing. They said that he spends all day in his car getting driven around deleting emails. Isn't that funny? And then... And they said that he was despicable. They said he was so disgusting and that nobody wanted the detail, that anybody that had the detail to, you know, bodyguard him or whatever, you know, hated it or they considered it practically a punishment. They said even the girlfriend was so unbelievably obnoxious. And she's a TV personality. She seems so pleasant on TV, they said she's vile, absolutely disgusting. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Well, you know, there are stories about President Reagan's wife. In public, she was very pleasant. Private, same thing with the Clintons. In fact, there have been a number of tell-all books written by the Clinton associates from back in the Arkansas days that should underscore the fact what you see on TV is a performance, an art piece. It's theater. Yeah. It's not how they really are. And again, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. People will get into these positions of wealth and power, and it will go to their head, especially if they started out with a sociopathic personality to begin with, having that kind of wealth and power and the ability to get away with everything you want to get away with, that will go to your head, and it can result in some very unpleasant people.
If I know I don't want to take up too much of your time, but just something I thought about is that if the Federal Reserve gets destroyed and the dollar becomes worthless, I don't know what these people are going to do, because they're paying these bodyguards or whatever. They're paying them with cash, right? So if the people who protect you loathe you, right? I mean, I've heard stories, because the line of work my husband does, I've heard stories of, like, billionaires with security guards where they won't let them eat. You know, there was this one wedding where the guy had to follow a woman around to protect the diamond on her necklace, and they were throwing food out. And when they tried to eat the food that was going into the garbage, the guy freaked out on them. And I was like, you know, these are body. What would it take if all of a sudden the money system collapsed? These guys that are protecting you, they'll turn on you. They'll grab that necklace off your neck. And, you know, I mean, how stupid to mistreat the people that are protecting you. I don't understand that, but that's. Yeah, that's how they are.
I don't either. And of course, if they're in a position of dependency on you, they'll take a lot of abuse. And it almost seems like this. There's a part of the human character that responds to brutality with submissiveness. And this goes all the way back to that Stanford prison experiment, and apply it to the real world. Now, when I've been a manager, I always treat my subordinates with respect, because you are dependent on them in a very real way. I understand you can't be both their manager and their friend, but you can be a respectful, kind manager. And that's always seems the best policy to me. But again, some of the people, they've got so much money and so much power, their attitude is, go ahead, quit. There's plenty more where you came from.
But you know what, I'm sorry, I don't mean to keep babbling on, but the type of personality of the man that you have, you know what I mean? Like, the personality of the person who's a bodyguard or a cop, these are not submissive type people. And if they have to take abuse, that's not smart. I mean, I know what you're saying, that there's done studies about, you know, how it's good if you have, you know what I mean? But in my opinion, it's unwise. Because if you've got the type of a personality where you're drawn to police work, and that's who they have. They have taxpayer-funded police officers bodyguarding them. And, I mean, we all know what cops are like, right? These people do not like being abused. They don't like it. And the day is going to come, I tell you, when...
It could. Yeah. That may be what happened to Indira Gandhi. She was killed by her own protective detail. Maybe she maltreated them, and they said, oh, to heck with this one.
Yeah. Oh, no kidding. See, I didn't know that.
Okay.
Huh. Yeah. Interesting.
All right. Well, thank you very much for the phone call. We're going to let you go and go to Rick in Arizona. Aloha, Rick. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Mike, I just want to, a couple of callers ago, you talked about Saudi Arabia. You know, there's 16 countries Israelis cannot enter. And there's one country, even if you're Jewish from Nebraska, you cannot enter, and that's Saudi Arabia. So there's a lot of disinformation flying around out there about Israel's little brother, Saudi Arabia. There is no friendship there. I don't know where it's coming from, but that's a fact. And something else I was going to say. Oh, and Trump's ban of the seven countries. Now, let's say you were born in Yemen and you live in Israel now. You cannot enter the United States. If you're Jewish in Israel, but you were born in Yemen, you cannot enter the United States. So,
I'm not sure that's accurate, because the travel ban is based on a country of origin of the flights. It doesn't say anything in there about any ethnic group.
Okay, not according to the immigration lawyer in New York City. And so,
well,
let me do
a little research on that, because the whole big stink about this, the travel ban, was that it not mention any nationality or ethnicity, but simply say people traveling from these countries will be subjected to more scrutiny. Which
well, they're not
going
to tell you that on the news. They're not going to tell you that on the news.
Let me go find out on that one, because again, if the travel ban did in fact specifically say Yemenites are not allowed, then these many court decisions would probably have gone the other way in terms of blocking the travel ban. But again, under Title 8, the president does have a right to arbitrarily declare certain groups of people are forbidden from immigrating to this country, and previous presidents have used it many, many times. It's only when it's Donald Trump against the New World Order that they're going to make a really big stink about that one.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. He can stop immigration based on national security, based on health risks. So when they fight him with these judges overturning his laws, that's crap. That's just
it
for
is.
Public consumption. He could stop it anytime he wants.
Okay, well, Rick, thank you very much for the phone call. We're going to let you go here. We're coming up here toward the end of the show. Last commercial break here. Talking about the economic news, Illinois finally has approved its first budget in 2 years. They've been deadlocked since 2015. And apparently, Illinois, the entire state, is hovering at the edge of junk credit status. This is the first domino. It's downhill from here. Nobody is really thinking about how to save the economy. I really do think that Wall Street and all of the big politicians know the United States cannot be saved, and their agenda is to simply grab what they can and skedaddle for the border before it all comes apart. So lock up your silverware and your daughters. Be on guard here. Now, we keep hearing about the cashless society. And there's a new option out there called the less cash society, where transactions above a certain level will have to be on those plastic cards. Below a certain level, they're going to allow you to have a little bit of cash and use a little bit of cash. But Australia is now coming out with a new note, new $100 notes that have tracking chips in them. So as you go through turnstiles and checkpoints, the government will know where the money is and how much you've got in your pocket. Isn't that going to give you a warm and fuzzy feeling? Now, we're talking about the dying of America's middle class. Actually, it's being murdered. Throughout history, all tyrants will work to destroy the middle class, because it is from the middle class that opposition to oligarchy always arises. That was true in the American Revolution, was true in the French Revolution, ultimately was true in the Russian Revolution, which is why the Soviet Union got rid of the middle class real quick. So we have this article in Blacklisted News: the number of Americans that cannot afford their own homes has more than doubled. Rents are going up, mortgage interest is going up, housing values are going down, a lot more people underwater. Another article coming out of Government Slaves: working past 70, Americans can't seem to retire. It's just not there. The pension funds are in trouble. Social Security's in trouble. The only thing that people over 70 might see as a saving grace is there won't be any jobs for them. Nobody likes to hire old people. Now, as you know, we're in the middle of summer, and summer normally is a season where gasoline sales go through the roof, because people go on out and they drive to other towns to visit friends and relatives, and they go on out to our national parks. And it hasn't happened this year. And Bank of America is out there saying, where's the driving season here? And the answer is very obvious. People don't have money for gratuitous driving. They don't have money for newer cars. Our national parks have been terror-proof to the point where they're just not all that enjoyable anymore. And as that earlier caller said, because of the plastic fantastic transition of our country, there's no more local character So why drive 20 miles to see a shopping mall and a McDonald's when you've got exactly the same thing sitting already near you and no money to spend at either one anyway? So I'm not surprised driving season is very low this year. And that'll keep oil and gas prices down, because normally when demand goes up, price goes up. Like I said, people don't drive the original Route 66 the way they did when I was a kid. That was a big adventure. It's a grand way to get across the country, at least from L.A. to Chicago. So down in the European Union, they have 7.2% of the world population, 23.8% of the gross domestic product, and 58% of world welfare spending. In other words, it's coming up on a breaking point. Europe, their population, their GDP, can no longer support the flood of refugees and migrants pouring in day by day by day. Another story coming out of Investment Watch blog. Up in Sweden, where there's this rape epidemic going on, almost half the victims are children. Thank you, George Soros. What a wonderful thing you've done to Europe and its people and its culture. All right, we're going to take a break for commercials. We'll be back with the last segment of our Monday program after these few words.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Hi, folks. Let's wind the clocks back 60 years. Food was different. Food provided health and nutrition, and using supplements was minimal. Unfortunately, now we have chemicals, GMOs, herbicides, and pesticides that can be quite lethal in the name of our food supply and, of course, the ever-loving dollar. Supplementing our diets can be very important to stay healthy. Cleansing from daily intruders to the body might be critical. Live strong and take charge. Log on to GetTheTea.com. Our herbal tea is a great way to cleanse from intruders. Our supplements is a great way to maintain and improve your health. When your health is not up to par, go to GetTheTea.com. No GMOs, no fillers, and organic. And very helpful in keeping you at the top of your game. Life is too short to feel, you know what I mean. Stay in the game. At the top of your game with GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Again, GetTheTea.com.
Some are maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. Last segment of our program on this Monday here. And I'm afraid cannot take any more calls at this point. Sorry for those who were holding. We're just going to let you go here. There's a very interesting program that ran on History Channel last night. It's Amelia Earhart, The New Evidence. And I put it on the DVR and I watched it. They make a very compelling case that Amelia Earhart and Fred Noonan survived the landing of their aircraft at one of the many atolls in the Pacific. They were captured by the Japanese, interred at Saipan, and then later on executed and buried there. Now, a lot of people have been making a lot of commentary about this one photo that was uncovered at the National Archives that seems to show Earhart, Noonan, and the remains of the aircraft on a dock at this island with this Japanese ship in the background, towing the barge on which the remains of the Electra appear to be. The photo's a little fuzzy. but they have a lot of other information. Apparently, in Malaysia, it's sort of like commonly known history that Amelia Earhart and Fred Noonan wound up there. And by the way, this idea that Earhart and Noonan wound up on Saipan is not new. It's one of the many theories about what happened that's been around for a lot of years. I remember about 5 years ago, there was somebody who claimed when they were cleaning out Saipan following the U.S. invasion that they found some of Earhart's personal papers and a flight case locked in a safe in the office. Not too surprisingly, a lot of people who have alternative theories to what happened to Amelia Earhart are out there trying to attack this and say, I'm right. Maybe we can have a wrestling event, let them sort that out. What really is controversial and new about this particular variation on the theme is the fact that they provide documentation, including this photo from the National Archives. It had been classified at one point, was accidentally declassified and misfiled, to basically say that the U.S. government knew the Japanese had Amelia Earhart and Fred Noonan and chose to just ignore it, to abandon them, rather than risk the Japanese realizing that the U.S. had already cracked their naval codes as war approached. And from my own work on the Pearl Harbor deception, I know how important that was. The fact that the U.S. had cracked these codes was one of the most highly guarded secrets, so highly guarded that, yes, they would let people get killed, they would let ships get sink, rather than risk somebody on the other side saying, oh, they've got to be reading our message traffic. So that's the part of the story that everybody says, oh, our government would never do anything like that. Yeah, afraid they would. Afraid they would. But they do make a compelling case, and I understand History Channel is still streaming it. They may do a rebroadcast. This one is definitely worth catching on the DVR and watching because it is very, very well done. I actually like a lot of what History Channel does these days, and I'm not just saying that because I was on there a while back. Those poor Londoners cannot get away from all these fires. Apparently, in East London, a building went up. They think the solar panels caught fire. There's the music. Time for me to get out of here. I got to do Jim Goddard's show, and then I got other things to do around here. We'll be back tomorrow here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Until then, stay informed, stay skeptical, make good choices. Please stay tuned for John Stedmiller's program, Aloha America.
Question for you. Would you be okay with more energy, more endurance, thicker, healthier hair, a better mood, reduced appearance of wrinkles, improved sleep, improved blood pressure and cholesterol profiles, improved vision, improved memory? Okay then. Well now, have you heard of Nature's Youth RSF? It's from the anti-aging experts at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. See, at Nature's Youth, they understand exactly what it means to provide top quality health products. And Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain that peak performance and fight the aging process. If health, wellness, and nutrition are what you desire, choose Nature's Youth RSF. I did. You see, you're going to get older. It's just up to you how you feel when you get there. Get started today. Nature's Youth RSF. Simple to use, simple to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.